Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today's sermon, it focuses on a popular Lenten hymn, Christ, the Life of All the Living. As I read through each stanza and comment on it, let us be filled with gratitude for Jesus' obedient, loving, excruciating work that he did to save us from our sins and to open the way to heaven. With each stanza, I'm going to give you a summary statement, explain it a little bit, and also give you, in many cases, a passage from the Bible that connects in with what the hymn is saying to us. With the very first stanza here, I think the summary statement really fits in right with the title of this hymn. So, Christ, the Life of All the Living. That's how the hymn starts off. Christ, the Life of All the Living. Christ, the Death of Death Our Foe, who thyself for me once giving to the darkest depths of woe. So when we step back and think about it, we know from the Bible that God the Father is the one who designed the entire world. And then we know that the Son, according to what the Bible tells us, through him, all things came into being. So the Son of God was there with the Father from the beginning, and it was the Son who spoke all things into existence. And then what happened? Due to our sin, the Son of God then put on flesh in order to defeat death. He did it for our eternal benefit. Isn't that so amazing? He is so awesome, speaking creation into existence, and yet he was so obedient to the Father, and he loved us so much that he did this so that we could be with God forever. Let us always keep that great contrast in mind. Then the hymn says, through thy sufferings, death, and merit, I eternal life inherit. So think about it. Jesus the Christ, he obediently entered great suffering and death. The Bible says he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why did he do it? So that by grace through faith, we could receive the gift of eternal life. And then the hymn says, thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. So those words conclude stanzas 1-6. It reminds me of what Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about how we are the biggest losers, how he gave us all by his work, he gave us this great victory, what should we do? We should give him 1,000,000 thanks for what he did for us. May God help us to keep doing that day by day throughout our lives. In the second stanza, I summarize it like this. Christ took much on himself to deliver us. The hymn says, thou, thou hast taken on thee bonds and stripes, a cruel rod. Pain and scorn were heaped upon thee, O thou sinless Son of God. So Jesus, though sinless and innocent, and keep in mind, he was able to escape at any moment. He could have said, it hurts too much, it's too hard, I don't want to do it, I'm leaving. At any moment he could have done that. He is the Son of God in human flesh, and yet he permitted himself to be bound. He permitted himself to be beaten, all for us and our salvation. And then the hymn says, thou didst thou my soul deliver from the bonds of sin forever. So our sins put us in bondage. So what did Jesus do? Well, here's the plan laid out here in Acts chapter 2. Jesus was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. So God ultimately knew All people would fall into sin. So God planned out how he would take away our sins. And Jesus was following that plan as he was bound, as he was beaten, as he was put on trial, and all the way to the end. He was following the plan of God the Father. Nobody forced that upon him. The Father planned it out, and Jesus willingly went along with it. Coming to the third stanza, here's a summary. Christ did his work alone. The hymn says, "Thou hast borne the smiting only, that my wounds might all be whole. Thou hast suffered, sad and lonely, rest to give my weary soul." So we are the ones who sinned, but we were completely helpless to fix it. So Jesus did everything for our salvation. Think about this passage in Isaiah chapter 63. Here we have the suffering servant. We have the pre-incarnate Christ, and he's telling what he would do, how he would do his work alone. He said, "I have trodden the wine trough alone." And then the hymn goes on, "Yea, the curse of God enduring, blessing unto me securing." So the Bible says here that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. How did we get cursed? We cursed ourselves when we sinned because we cursed ourselves. A severe penalty was required. So either we could pay that penalty, or the Son of God could put on flesh and he could pay that penalty. And that's exactly what he did. He bore our curse in order to open the way for eternal blessings for you and me. Shouldn't we trust him? Shouldn't we honor him? Shouldn't that completely change the way we live here on planet Earth until we are finally with him forever? And then stanza four, the summary, Christ permitted others to greatly abuse him. The hymn says, "Heartless scoffers did surround thee, treating thee with shameful scorn, and with piercing thorns they crowned thee. All disgrace thou, Lord, hast borne." So if you think about it, the very Son of God, the source of all life for all people in the whole world, he permitted those cruel Roman soldiers to mock him as a false king, even though he is the King of Kings, and he permitted them to drive those sharp thorns from that crown of thorns into his holy head. He could have resisted, he could have gotten away, and yet he permitted it all for you and for me and even for all. Finally, the hymn says, "That as thine thou mightiest own me and with heavenly glory crown me." So Jesus perfectly obeyed his Father. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times, "Father, if there's some other way, use that other way in order to redeem the world." But how did he conclude his prayer? "Not my will, but yours be done." I'm not sure if you say that when you conclude your own prayers or not, but I think it's a good idea at least to have the attitude, even if we don't say it. So we go to God, we lay out for him what we're hoping for, we lay out for God what we think is best, and then we should always pray with the attitude, "Not my will, but your will be done." And what else might we add there? We might add, "And help me to accept whatever your will is." May God help us with such things. Coming to stanza five, here's the summary statement. Christ absorbed the fists and false accusations. The hymn says, "Thou hast suffered men to bruise thee, that from pain I might be free. Falsely did thy foes accuse thee, thence I gain security." What we have here, I'm calling the great exchange. We sinned, but he was bruised. We are guilty, but he was accused. Thinking about the famous passage here in 1 Peter, by his wounds you were healed. And then the hymn goes on, comfortless thy soul did languish, me to comfort in my anguish. So Jesus received our sins. We have many famous passages here in Isaiah 53. This one may be one of the most famous. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. So 700 years before the Son of God put on human flesh, God told us what would happen when Jesus was on the cross. Why did he do all of that? So that we, through him, would be made at one, that we would be made right with God. Nothing we could do to get with God, nothing we could do to be right with him. Christ had to do it, and now God is offering that gift to everyone. Many don't know they need it, many have rejected it, but let's give thanks that God has moved us to accept it and to be right with God. And then the hymn says, thou didst choose to be tormented, that my doom should be prevented. So think about it, Jesus was completely innocent, so his flogging, his crucifixion, so horrible, but he deserved none of it. He was being tortured in such a horrible way, and yet he permitted all of it. Jesus endured it all so that we could be gifted with righteousness, the very thing that we need to be with God forever. He endured it all so we could escape the doom that you and I and all of us deserve. Let us gladly tell others what Christ has done so that all might receive God's precious gift of salvation. So in the final stanza, stanza 7, the summary statement here, Christ did it all. He is enough. Everyone in the world, or so many in the world, are trying to add something to who he is, to what he did. Let's understand, he is enough. So the stanza says, then for all that wrought my pardon, for thy sorrows deep and sore, for thine anguish in the garden, I will thank thee evermore. Thank thee for thy groaning, sighing, for thy bleeding and thy dying. So thinking about those words, if we really meditate on them a little bit, those words are so horrible, and yet they are so beautiful as they summarize the work that the Son of God had to do in order to redeem us. What's a nice way for us to summarize it? We think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then right at the end of the hymn here, for that last triumphant cry, all shall praise thee, Lord on high. So once Jesus completed all his work, he cried out from the cross. After he took the drink, he cried out from the cross. Of course, we think about the words, it is finished, or we could think about the Greek word, tetelestai, and we could think about a more full translation of that word. Really, he said, it has been paid in full. In other words, he did the full thing. There's nothing for us to add to it. See, if we try to add something to what he has done, then we're saying we don't believe that he has done the whole thing. God wants us to know that on one hand, we are completely helpless. On the other hand, Christ did absolutely everything. And God wants us to be sorry for our sins, and he wants us to trust in Christ alone. Not 99%, but 100% in him, knowing that he is enough. Let us pray. Dearest Jesus, thousand thanks from us to thee now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.